something I don't know a lot about, but she did something with it that really made it relevant for me. And Riley, you can sit down. She was talking about how she went through a very tragic time in her life. She went through a very painful accident that left her with chronic pain and severe depression. She would try the normal things to get herself healed. She took medicine. She was going to rehab. She tried to stay positive, tried to return back to work, but she wasn't healing very fast. She decided, after knowing the science behind video games and knowing what propels people to sit in front of a TV or a console for hours and not just always mindlessly zone out, but to be very focused on completing a task, about finding new ways to overcome victories. And she thought, I'm going to do that in my real life. So she created a game called Super Better. In this game, she assigned herself a reward. If she got to 50 points by the end of the week, she would go out and get herself some ice cream or something fun, something that would be relaxing to her. But how she earned points was doing things that would be good for her. So when she got out of bed in the morning, in order to go to work, in order to face the day, she gave herself a point for just showing up. If she talked to a friend about her struggles with depression and was vulnerable about the state she was in, she gave herself 5 points. She did things to make sure that this hard, hard game of life that was beating her down, that was stopping her from living the life that she knew she wanted to live, she made it easier on herself. She gave herself grace in order to live, to do the things that she was good at. And it seemed really quickly that this was working. In fact, she was able to return to, she says, full capacity within 2 months after almost a year and a half of daily debilitating pain and depression. She still had problems. She still worked towards healing, but she felt so much better and she felt victorious. She created Super Better, which is a game that people live out in their daily lives. Ways to make yourself, to make it easier to tackle those challenges in life, whether it's getting through a weight loss, a depression, helping yourself out through a pregnancy or a new job search, or having fun with your kids to get them to enjoy tasks. It's a really cool game, and so far, 500,000 people have played it. My boyfriend and I actually tackled it this summer in order to learn how to be runners. We were not successful, but that is okay. So today, I want to let you know that we are playing Super Better. We are playing our own game with Imagine a Malaria, a game that you have already participated in, and that I hope by the end of today, you will realize that it is a call to play a game this week. We don't often hear that in church, and I told the earlier service it's probably pretty bad theology, but that's okay, because I'll leave, and your pastors will have to deal with the ramifications, not me. So. But we start with something very serious. We're talking about a game and how to incorporate Imagine a Malaria in our faith and in our daily lives, but we're talking about death. We're talking about malaria, someone who kills every minute. That in the first 3 minutes of me up here rambling on about my childhood, you have three precious daughters of your congregation, Jordan, Paige, and Riley, sit down every single minute. That represents, in real time, three children, maybe a pregnant mother, have lost their lives so far. Three more since they have sat down. A life is lost every single minute. Someone not just sits down. Someone just doesn't lose a fight. Some life is lost. 95% of all deaths of malaria are kids under 5 and pregnant women, and they are dying from a 100% preventable, 100% treatable, 100% preventable disease. It cannot be said enough. That's why we're talking about it, even though this church has already done so much for Imagine a Malaria, because this is serious. This is happening. This is the daily mourning that thousands, 1,400 families deal with every day of losing a child. 3 out of every 4 sub-Saharan Africans catch malaria every year from mosquitoes. It's a parasite, so you can actually get malaria while you have malaria and get sicker. It costs $5 to treat, but oftentimes people don't know it's malaria. They don't know to go to the hospital, or they're so used to having the disease because they get it month after month that they just hope it goes away. And what we see is a whole entire continent that plagued by other things like illiteracy and poverty, HIV, AIDS, and bad water, bad roads. Malaria is one of the worst problems, and it comes down to little mosquito bites. It comes down to a mosquito bite that could be prevented, a mosquito bite that, if it develops into a parasite, could be stopped by a $10 bed net, by a $5 treatment, by awareness and how to track pregnancies. What we're doing with Super Better and Imagine Malaria, we're going to see today how we have won, how we have lost, and what we're going to do in the future, and invite you to join us. So Imagine Malaria was started actually as a group called Nothing But Nets, which you might have heard of before. United Methodist Church joined in with the NBA and the United Nations, which is a very fun trinity, to fight malaria in sub-Saharan Africa, where 90% of all cases are. We quickly realized by passing out bed nets, which is the main expression of Nothing But Nets, that we were doing really great things. So imagine if I had an imaginary scoreboard over here, adding points all day long to the United Methodist Church for partnering and giving out these bed nets. But we quickly found out that people were using them for fishing because they were hungry. And they don't know, a lot of people didn't know that malaria was even caused by mosquitoes. If your family's hungry, you're going to try to feed them instead of fight off an invisible predator. We also saw that people just didn't know how to use the resources, didn't know why it was important. So we subtracted some points from ourselves. And that subtracting of points is a very easy, simplistic way of saying we went back to the drawing board and said, how, as United Methodists, how, as Christians, how, as people, are we going to respond? How are we going to humble ourselves and realize that malaria is still waging a war and we need new tactics, new approaches to fighting this disease in Africa? So Imagine No Malaria was born from that. There's four ways where I think we gain major points in fighting this disease, of putting a lot of victories on the table, of saving lots of lives. The first thing we focus on is prevention. It's using those $10 bed nets to save a life. The malaria that spreads, a mosquito that spreads malaria primarily bites at night. If a village of 200 people 100% uses mosquito nets effectively for 2 weeks, malaria has almost 100% chance of never coming back to that village, ever. It is the best, cheapest way to get rid of malaria. But we also teach people how to drain standing water around their house, to look out for ways mosquitoes are breeding, and we also do insecticide sprays indoors with safe chemicals. The next thing we do that gains points is treatment. We have over 300 United Methodist hospitals in sub-Saharan Africa, which is the main reason why the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave Imagine Malaria a grant to cover all administrative costs. So if you put $10, $100, $1 million, which you're allowed to, in the offering bucket, all of that money would end up on the ground in Africa, refurbishing our hospitals, making sure that healthcare workers are trained to protect pregnant women, to protect children, to know how to attack the disease if someone comes in sick. The next thing we do, which is very, very cool, is education. Not just giving out bed nets, but having over 12,000 community health workers that know their own language and their own culture go and install these bed nets in people's houses. They go to elementary schools and they teach kids through skits about malaria. These kids then go to other elementary schools when kids are most vulnerable at that age and tell their peers how to stop this disease by using a bed net, by going to the hospital, by not being around standing water. And the last thing we do, which is absolutely incredible and vital, is communication. We use United Methodist radio stations all across sub-Saharan Africa. We give out a lot of solar radios to women's groups that gather together that can go spread the information. We also use cell phone technology. So for those that have cell phone, a lot of people do in sub-Saharan Africa, it's very, very cheap and just as necessary as it is here to communicate with friends, loved ones, and work. We have pastors and bishops, people that trust these people with their lives, that have seen their spiritual growth from a source of authority. They call and they leave voicemails, recordings that say, remember to sleep under your bed net tonight. If your child has a fever, go to the hospital. Don't leave them at home. It is crucial to get them to the hospital within 12 hours. This is the closest hospital in our village. This is how we're changing cultures. And that's important, because just as Superbetter helped this author get back from chronic pain and get back to living her life, she changed little bits about her life that gave her reward. She saw the results of it. And this is what's happening in sub-Saharan Africa with Imagine Malaria. People are making small changes, sleeping under a bed net, going to the hospital when they're sick as opposed to just sitting at home. And Imagine Malaria tries to make it as easy as possible for people to say yes to stopping malaria in their lives. Another way that we've gained points is in the last 5 years, we have raised $67 million of our $75 million goal as United Methodists. That is huge. In those same months, we've seen also something pretty extraordinary happen. Paige, if you could stand up. In the past couple months and past couple years, we've been able to see that through Imagine Malaria and through the work that we have been able to do, along with our global partners like Roll Back Malaria, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Malaria Initiative, like Malaria No More, we have seen death rates go down. In 5 years, in fact, we've seen death rates go down by half. In 5 years, we have seen a child now live every single minute. So the same way that we saw Paige and Jordan and Riley sit down at the beginning, representing a life lost every minute, they're now showing you the life gained every minute because we said yes. That we decided not only to pray, but to play in this game of making the world better, of taking this huge thing like faith, this huge thing like going into the world and being disciples every day, which can be mundane and hard and grueling, and try to add that lighthearted manner of saying, Jesus has got this, Jesus is healing, we are in the world to make conscious and thoughtful choices to save lives. Jordan, if you could stand up. So I'm asking you to play Super Better this week, a game that's based off video games, that has real life consequences that could really change your life, and that could be a spiritual discipline for you this week. That maybe give yourself a point for coming to church and learning something, but also maybe assign points the way Jesus might. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus play? WWJP this week. So he talks a lot, not necessarily about going to church, but he talks a lot about the poor. He talks a lot about the true gospel being in the least of these. So if you decide to help even more above what you've already done for Imagine Malaria this week, give yourself a million points, in my opinion. I'm biased, though. Or if you're patient with your child or someone at work that you wouldn't usually be patient with, give yourself a point. And it's not to reflect back on you. It's not to say, look at all these points I'm racking up. Look at my faith, my works really flowing together. Aren't I fabulous? No. We're saying that through our lives, through our daily lives, we make conscious decisions that are good and bad, that add to our faith, add to the world's interpretation of Jesus through what you do. Riley, you can stand up. And what you can do is change this world for the better through Imagine Malaria, through when you're praying for your kids, for your family, for your problems, for your joys, add in those that are dying every day. Tell someone what being a Christian is about this week. Subtract points when you mindlessly do things that you don't think are a big deal, but really, really hurt your witness, really hurt the heart of Christ. For me, I was telling the earlier service, I made a chart of how to play this week, and I'm going to take points away from myself when I do two things that I don't really think about, when I'm needlessly lazy and when I gossip, because those are ways that I sin that I let myself get away with all the time. There's also ways that I don't participate and engage with the world, and I don't prompt myself to do it. So this week, I'm going to play with my faith. I'm asking you to do the same, and it really comes back to that scripture I read earlier. Now, listen to this with the context of lives being saved, of your actions and your prayers and how you play and live your daily life, really living out the words of the gospel, of making sure many more children get a chance to stand up, of many more people get to live a life like Bob Schaefer's here. This is from 2 Corinthians. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than meeting the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgiving to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. If you'll join me in prayer. Lord, with the somberness of death, with the somberness of knowing that a child, a pregnant woman, a grandmother, a grandfather is lost every single minute due to poverty, due to racism, due to so many ways of evil that are presented in this world and take innocent victims, Lord, we rebuke that with the joy and celebration that you are a healing Christ that has come back and called your people to care about those that aren't talked about, those that are suffering from malaria. Lord, thank you so much for prompting the United Methodist Church to take on this role, to decide to play in this game, to engage, and to add a meaning to statistics, to add life behind those that are being lost every day, and to rejoice in those that are being saved. And not to stop there, but to encourage to thrive. Encourage those to know more about Jesus Christ and to help their brothers and sisters, Lord, that they pray just as passionately for us as we pray for them. Lord, thank you for this relationship between our African brothers and sisters and us at Coronado Community this morning. I pray, Lord, that through playing and working and praying through our faith this week, we can see the conscious choices we make to add to your kingdom, to bring the kingdom down to earth through what we do, through what we say, through what we feel, through what we pray. Lord, I am praying for this church, for myself, for everyone here, to take that charge seriously and lightheartedly, to give ourselves grace and to give ourselves conviction to do a little bit more this week, to imagine a malaria and to imagine a world where Jesus is what people see about us, and that is a great thing. And it is in your healing name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.